If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're not on a summer holiday. No more worries for me. You know what? I've had that song in my head, actually, since we've had the last week off on our summer holidays.
Plenty of worries. That feeling of going back to school. You know, the weather is exactly at the moment just reflecting how probably kids are feeling, parents who've been on holiday are feeling. We've had such a brilliant time. You know, you've done nothing for weeks.
Now, in that way, okay, without getting all trying to, I feel like I'm doing my English A levels here and analysing the weather in the way it reflects the plot of the storyline in a Wuthering Heights style and fashion. Emily Bronte, my A levels are coming back to me. But the weather's hit and miss. It was sunny this morning, cold, it's rainy. Do you have your window open when you're driving? Because it's raining, but it's warm.
Yeah,
you know,
warm.
It's like, so we're a bit summer, we're a bit autumn, we're getting ready for kind of misery and darkness and dark days.
Conkers are falling.
The crossover as well.
How you conkers? Conkers? I ain't seen no conkers yet, mate.
Conkers are falling.
I think I saw conkers a few weeks ago.
I thought I was hit by like a brick. It was so loud.
Yeah, but proportionately to the size of your body, a conker's significant. It's like a coconut hitting me in
Sash. It's an asteroid. yesterday, it's funny you talk about the weather. Yesterday, my dad packed all the fans away in the house. I was just like,
Mate, I packed the fans away ages ago.
It's a bit early, isn't it?
What do you mean early?
Because I reckon...
Look, at the moment, it's sunny. I could go outside. If I sat in the sun for 5 minutes, it's hot.
I looked at the thermostat this morning when I woke up at 5 and it went down to 19 degrees. I'm only 1 degree away before I'm going to be thinking about turning the heating on.
Wow. Is that your cutoff? See, the fact that
18 degrees,
bruv,
I can't be dealing with that.
You're saying, summer's over, a bit early, Kedge. I can almost predict in a week's time, 2 weeks' time on a podcast.
Heat wave coming.
Late September, Indian summer.
Are you allowed to say Indian summer anymore? Is that allowed? Has that been banned?
No, I think you have to say bang, bang, ding, ding, summer. I think that's more appropriate now because the whole country is more openly anti-immigrant now.
Let's talk about that.
I'm on holiday last week, chilling by the poolside. Actually went to Marrakesh. I've never done Marrakesh, by the way, on a as a resort.
As a family holiday.
No, actually, I've only done it as a family holiday. But I've never done it with my missus and kids. I've done it with my mum and dad because they like it because it's like the bend. But we've always done a villa because it's mum and dad and things like that. So this one was like just chilling by the pool. So I'm just looking at my phone, you know, sitting around. And I'm like, what's going on? Red crosses being painted everywhere,
mate.
But it's causing a hoo-ha. Flags out.
That's what it is. It's, you know,
shut it, you. Shut it, you flag.
I know. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, so being in England, it was like I saw a few sort of news reports about, you know, people are now hoisting their flags and, you know, all of that. And I thought, you know, this must be in the slightly extreme areas of England. Mm. And then, like, there's a roundabout down my road, the flat roundabout. And it's got a red cross on it.
Was it a red cross or was it the Denmark flag? Because I've seen someone do it wrong as well.
No. It was a red cross. And then I went further down and I've noticed a few more flags popping up as well.
Mm.
And you know, I'm putting it down to the fact that they're just big fans of the England's women rugby team. And obviously that World Cup is going on at the moment.
It's not for that.
It's not
for that.
Oh.
What is it for? Look at, you know what? I can sense it, by the way, everyone. If you can hear it, we're all a little bit nervous talking about this because we don't really do politics and things like this. And okay, let's just
listen.
Do I need to get the India flag out? Shall I hoist the India flag
Kedge, do it. You might get a brick for your window, but by all means, do it.
But no, I tell you what you need to do, though, Kedge. You need to get the India flag out in India, because it's not about waving your flag, international flag. This is about claiming back patriotism and claiming back the country and feeling like you can flex your own flags in your own land. Yeah. I think.
Well, yeah, but no one's ever said you can't flex your own flag in your own.
No, you can't. And every time I go to like the Middle East, they've got their own flags up everywhere. And it's quite normal. That's quite normal.
I don't see what the big issue is. And also, you know, waving your flag is not going to solve, you know, like the any criminal activity in this country or any extra boats coming to this country.
But I think where, you know, these guys are doing it with the flags here, there is a bit of like, you know, worry in a weird sort of way. Because the other day, I went out for a walk with one of my mates and I went to that area and I was just like, because it's not like that where I am, but where she lived, it was crazy. Like
there was flags out everywhere.
Flags out everywhere on every sort of lamppost, and then there was like all the roundabouts were all sprayed in, and I was like out walking around in this. And I was just a bit like, do you know, at one point, a few times, I looked behind me to see, do you know, like because you're just like, this is we're not used to this.
Yeah,
I've got to get rid of a sofa. Do you reckon if I paint it red cross on it, do you reckon the council will come and take it away?
This is where
it's at now.
So what's happening is the council are taking down these flags and stuff because they're going, you can't do it. And that, you imagine, okay, it's different.
Well, I don't know why they're doing that though. They shouldn't do that.
Right. No, agree.
But okay, so this is weird because I'd probably needed to read up on it more. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to waste my time and my life getting into politics and identity and things like that. I want to live my life, have a good time. I love everybody. We all do. I know all three of us do. So what's the issue? But this is a weird one because I'm seeing people I know, even like comedian friends of mine, kind of going, yeah, you know, you're all putting up flags and da, 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 and they're making a thing of it. Like, almost like, you know who you are, you flag put uppers. But I'm like, no. Surely the mass of these people are just people that are kind of going, look, we're tired of losing, you know, feel like we're losing our identity. We want to be multicultural Britain. That's fine. We want legal immigration. That's fine. But why can't we just be proud of who we are? But there's something about the Union Jack and the St. George's Cross, which I think maybe goes back to the 80s or whatever.
Well, it's funny you said that because you've led me into a beautiful little bit of the segue into what I can talk about next. And I've done a bit of research. So in an early one of things I've learned, right, that English flag, right, that we're
the St. George's Cross.
The St. George's Cross, yeah. That saint was actually a Middle Eastern man.
Yeah, yeah, all three of them.
Who never saw England. And so, you know, they're all using it as a massive weapon, you know, to sort of saying that it was inspired by this man. But he wasn't even British. So let me just give you a little bit of insight on St. George.
George went British?
No. Right.
So, like, so was he like George from East is East?
Probably, yeah. He was born in Cappadocia.
I'm ready to see him, bastard.
Check this out. He's born in Cappadocia, which is the modern day Turkey, right?
Oh, but sorry, you know about Cappadocia. You know what it's known for now?
Gone.
Do you not know this?
No.
It's beautiful, bro. It's known for all the hot air balloons.
He was a beautiful man, George was.
Cappadocia is the place to go to for hot air balloon rides.
So check this out. He was a Roman soldier. Yeah. He died a martyr in the Middle East, right?
Right.
Which was sort of near Israel and Palestine. Now, the English crusaders brought the red and white cross back from the Holy Land during the 12th and 13th centuries. And that's how it became England's national flag. So the very man who inspired
it all... That.
The very man who's inspired all of this is basically a foreigner to the protesters that are rejecting today.
Right.
Slightly
and
ironic.
Add to that, so the Union Jack is a combination of St. David, St. George and another one.
Scotland, Wales, Ireland. Yeah,
right. And all of them. So, by the way, to source this, go and see Ishan Akbar. Ishan, who's been on the podcast, comedian Ishan Akbar. Go look at his post because he did that. He goes, look, St. George was foreign, but then he goes, and so was St. David. He was from this place, like Turkey, and someone else from somewhere else. I might be getting it wrong, whatever.
So, you know, hang on a minute. Maybe they've fooled all of us, and they're promoting it.
Right, and that's what he's getting. So you're sort of... But I think this isn't really about the history of it and about being... Well, I don't think it should be about anti-immigration. I think what it's about is saying we're proud of this country, we love our country, we want to keep our country safe from people that want to take away our identity or take advantage of our girls and our, you know, our daughters and our sisters don't feel safe after kind of there has been those cases of illegal migrants at a house somewhere that may or may not, I don't even know the full story, may have attacked someone locally, and therefore that's when the whole of Epping up the road from me in Essex, they all came out and were kicking off and they're like, yeah, we ain't having none of it, Sean.
And there's that place, the Bell Hotel.
The Bell Hotel, yeah.
Yeah.
So all of that's been going on, and I think really it's an identity issue. So, you know, you can imagine any country that kind of suddenly feels like they're getting their identity taken away is going to kind of kick off and go, let's bring it back to what it is and what it was and what it should be. And I've even seen stuff in Canada where they're going, there's too many Indians and too many Indians coming over here. They're changing the way Canada is and they're acting like this or acting like that. So it's coming back to identity. I think it's coming back to people feeling like, this ain't me. Mm. And what's weird for us is we are a bit foreign, but yet we're born and bred here. So we are still connected to our Desi roots. Very proud of that.
The problem here is that some of these people that are out protesting and doing stuff don't know the difference between us and one of those people in one of those hotels. Yeah. Right.
Hence why I'm going around in a Union Jack t-shirt. Because I'm going...
I thought you were saying Union Jack Lungi.
Yeah, that's it. And they're like, oh, what do we do here? Is he mocking us? Is he one of us? And I go, all right, mate, how's it going?
Yeah.
Just trying to join on in. But it's funny times, it's weird times. And you're right, it makes you a little bit nervous about, you know. But then this is, again, where people get a bit twitchy. And you don't know what you're going to get. It's like people have said to me, because I sometimes talk about, I said a few years ago, not recently, I wouldn't mind living in the States. After I did a drive across America years ago, and I really loved the States. I really loved the size of it and the beauty of it. But someone went, are you mad? If you know, there's a kid who went and knocked on someone's door because he was lost.
You've got those MAGA chutneys, haven't you? You've got those MAGA chutneys, haven't you?
Exactly. I've got MAGA chilies. But you get nervous, and then you think, should we all just go back to India just for safety and just live our lives?
It would be fun, though, wouldn't it? It would be fun, just to see how we all do, and we don't fit anywhere. That's the problem we've got. We don't fit in India or here. So that is a hilarious thing about it.
But I would like
what
to
job
think.
What would we do out there?
Yeah, God. Okay. Okay. Imagine if you go up there, well, you've got to go back to Punjab, and this would have been, you know, you're
a farmer. You've got to be a farmer.
You've got to be a farmer, and you know, I can't even look after a basil plant, so I don't know why I'd be.
I think
it would
be quite exciting.
Satch, you can DJ internationally. They'll always need a wedding DJ. You'll always.
Nah, but I wouldn't want to do them kind of gigs, innit?
In Gujarat.
Nah, it's not for me.
But Satch, day one, you land in India, you've just got to literally go with a begging pot outside. Money's flat and go, I can DJ. And once he sees you, then you're sorted.
Do you know what? I think it'd be a career change. If I'm moving country, I want to change jobs as well. I'd just do something completely random.
Oh, like
I don't know. Come and bring your blouses. I'll sew them for you. I don't know. I'll be a tailor. I don't know.
Get Satch's hand in that pot, his big hand in that pot, scooping the Barney booty.
Sorry, bring your blouses.
Yeah, I'll be a tailor. I don't know. Everyone's a tailor in India.
Sachin Taylor.
You could have gone with any item of clothing. I'll make a three-piece suit.
I'll make something for you.
Satch does have a slightly, intel on making blouses. That's why you...
It makes money. If it makes money, we need a job.
To be fair, Satch is onto something because everyone needs a blouse and everyone changes body shape.
Every time someone goes to India, they need to sew a blouse. That's a fact.
Such is a fact. How many people in India? 1.8, half of which are women, right? That's a lot of women who need blouses all the time. How many weddings do they go through? They all change body shape.
You could tailor.
You know, losing weight, gaining weight, the wedding this one, you need ones with, you know, bra cups, strapless, topless, whatever, I don't know. And such is that. You're making money, bro.
You know what it is? Women care about the fittedness of their blouse and their suit and whatever. Men will go, yeah, that'll do. I'll take exactly. it off the shelf.
Men that'll just do. Wear one size kurta, and that's it. It doesn't
that's
matter.
That's it. It doesn't matter.
The fact is, there's no sizes to kurta. That's the classic thing about it. You ask for a size 40 in like three different shops, they'll all be different sizes. So maybe that's something that me and Tommy can do. Standardize just sizing.
No. You two could be the models. You know, there's always a fella that tries a sari on.
No, I tell you what I want to be. I genuinely would love to be the snack guy. Because they come to the blouse shop and then there's a guy that goes, what do you want? Pizza? Mm. You know, you want aloo tikkis? You know what I would do?
That's a great one. But I would go there. See, because me and Satch are going there to actually improve India as well. I would be the guy who redesigns what we call in Gujarati, mojris. What do you call them in Punjabi? What do you call them?
The shoes. Moja.
Moja, right? Moja. Just because they are... What is that? Why are they only using, like, cardboard at the bottom? Why have they not figured out? These have to be comfortable. You're wearing them all day at a wedding. I'll do a little collaboration with Nike. Let's get some air bubbles into that thing. Let's make it a little bit more comfy. And that pointy bit that goes at the front of your foot that cuts in. You've got a hole in the front of your foot. You've got blisters at the... Why? 2025, you know, and I get it. Prada have gone out and made these things, but they still made it crap.
No, this is like the, you know, the Gujarati
strap shoe. That weren't a moja. That weren't like
that's
what you're
true.
Talking
that's
about.
A chappal. That was a chappal, wasn't it?
That was a nice chappal.
Moje. That's Kej, my business.
Kej could be the brown Phil Knight shoe kutti.
Yeah. That's it. That is it.
Shoe kutti.
Yeah. The important thing is you've got to love your job.
By the way, if you haven't read Shoe Dog, it's such a brilliant book.
Brilliant. And, one of the best books I've read.
Exactly. You told us about it, Satch. I've told so many other people about it. I said, honestly, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're running your own business, if you like exercising, if you like travel, this book about Nike has literally got it all. So look, actually, talking about Nike, it's that time. And I did the Clark's shoe run as well with the kids. Had to go get the new shoes for school because new term, new school, new start, new everything.
Have they busted them yet?
Funny you said that. You know what? I'm going to whisper this because it was it's always funny when I say things to you and I repeat the conversations back. But at the time, they're not funny. What did Milo and Logan both say? They went, they don't want laces on their shoes because they can't be asked.
Straps.
Right? This is how lazy the new generation is, right? They don't want laces. And if they want straps, they only want the two strap ones, not three. And I looked at them, I went, what, because... What
takes more time?
I can't hope to do three straps on each foot.
Oh, really?
What schedule are you on? Where a third strap is going to? No, Dad, that doesn't work with my timings. I tell you, this new generation, it's something else. Like, I don't know whether to be patient with it or whether to slap it out of them and go, no, you ain't going to be this way. You don't get to be this way.
Yeah, I'm
trying to lead you into your Gen Z.
No, we're doing your love your job thing.
But I thought.
Oh, we want to go. Sorry, I missed the Gen Z thing.
You missed it, yeah, because we skipped Gen Z. I was trying to get back to it.
I saw the flags thing. Sorry.
I just said this new generation, man. I don't know if to slap at it or pamper to it.
All right, just do that last line again.
So it's this new generation, man. I don't know. I don't know what they're about.
The new generation, the Gen Zers is who you're referring to. And the Gen Zers, like, you know, the thing is, the Gen Zers, it's weird this as well. It's like every week there's always a new story about Gen Zers. It's like, Gen Zers this. I don't know, like, it never used to be like this about the generation of its time. I don't know, maybe it was, I don't know. But the recent one that everyone's talking about is how Gen Zers are Gen Zers are getting their parents to come into work and talk to their boss. If they're not being treated properly.
Very quickly, Gen Z, what ages, roughly?
So they're in their 20s now. I think if you're in your 20s now, you're a Gen Zer.
They're roughly the people born in the mid-90s to about 2010, to the end of the noughties.
The snowflakes.
Is that...
The snowflake gets passed on generation to generation. Mm. But the Gen Zers are that era, that what Tommy just said. And so the story is, apparently, more and more Gen Zers are calling their parents to work to speak to their boss because they're not happy about their workload, the way they're being treated, or their appraisal. They're not happy with it. And I just thought, wow. How has that become a thing?
No, but why are they calling their parents? Let's have... I'm not putting it on you. What's going on in their head that they think actually in the workplace I've got to bring my mum or dad in?
Because they feel they're feeling unjust about the situation, and you know, like they need someone to go and speak to their boss because they're just not happy with the way things are.
What?
Why are they this way? Why are the kids, why do they feel the need to bring their mum or dad into the workplace to sort their problems out?
I think we were just talking this weekend as well, actually, because it was my niece's birthday party. And so the kids were playing in the garden and the boys were playing cricket. But the funny thing was, is that I still had to be there to sort of explain things about six deliveries and then you change, but no one was taking that responsibility. I said, right, so that means that one of you got to count how many balls they're throwing, and then they go, oh, but then who bats next? I said, right, so then you work out oldest to youngest, so then you go by age and then you reverse the bowling youngest. Like, I'm sorry, I can't believe I'm explaining this to kids, because when we were 7, 8, 9, 10, we just spent hours in the park and we figured it out. It was fair. And we just got on with it. Do you know what I mean? There was no cha-cha or uncle or dad or mom or trying to explain, right, guys, this, you know, like, I had to explain to them headers and volleys. But every time they scored a goal, okay, so who loses their life? Who? And he was like, oh my God, I've explained this to you guys. You know, you're all old enough kids. Like, why do they need so much management?
Yeah. Yeah.
And exactly, was so shocked.
We've gone from helicopter parents to helicopter cha-chas, which is what Kedge was on the weekend.
All of that, and they almost need like someone who's going to sort out the trouble. Someone who's been fouled. Oh, like even now, yeah. Like I thought we were recording the podcast. I don't know why I had it in my head at 3 o'clock, so I was all clear at 3. We're recording at 4 o'clock today, so I went to the boys. Oh, we got an hour. Let's go in the garden. Oh, yeah. Do we have to? I mean, it's the garden. Right, he goes, okay, and then Milo, the old one, he's going, oh, but can I just go in my Crocs? I went, well, we're going to play football. He goes, yeah, I can play my Crocs. I said, well, you kind of can't, because it's going to hurt your toe. Like, just put on a pair of socks and trainers. Oh, yeah. Do I have to? I'm like, you know what? I said, you know what? Don't worry about it. He goes, no, you're upset now. I said, I'm not upset. I said, I'm saying, like, if I've got to convince you to, so you know, like, you're like, it's like you got to drag them over the finish line. You got to, like, kind of drag them into life.
And I think what we're doing is we're building a population of who are going to be lacking leaders. And I think if you can grow up to be a leader, I think that's where you're going to start, you know, earning a lot of money. Because I don't think we're creating environments where we're not creating leaders anymore. I just feel, or someone who's strong enough to go, right, I'm going to take charge of this game.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this is the way it is, this is how it goes.
And in jobs as well, you know, you've got to, you know, when you're doing your job, you've got to just step up and go, right, I'm going to take charge of this. You've got to have a little bit of love for your job.
Yeah. Oh, well,
I think that's key.
That is key. And but the problem is, I think these guys don't love anything. And again, all the social media-y stuff doesn't help. And in fact, you say about love your job. There was a thing on social media that I saw this week. Oh, what was it again? There's a woman, and she's on a podcast with a guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And she said to the guy, you know what I heard recently? You know, I heard you shouldn't love your job. You should job your love. Mm. Right?
What does that mean?
Exactly, number one. And that's why after that, actually, all these memes are going around off the back of it, kind of going, oh, rest in peace, the internet, rest in peace, TikTok, rest in peace, you know, motivational videos, because they're like, that's it. That she just that's killed it all done. Off by making a nonsense
you gotta,
point.
You got to job your love.
Don't love your job, job your love. Meaning, don't love where you work at what you love. I guess is what her point
makes. Make the thing that you love your work.
Like, follow your passion.
Make what you love your job. Basically,
yeah.
Job your love. Yeah.
Don't love your job.
Yeah.
To job your love, right? And then everyone was going mad. Everyone's going, yeah. Don't face your fear. Fear your face. I'm like, what? people were taking a piss. I was thinking of like, what was my Punjabi one that came out? Because the phrase I remembered from growing up.
Don't round your roti. Roti your round.
Yes. Yes.
That's deep. That is deep. Yeah. That's a phrase.
So deep is beyond me. You know what I mean? But yeah. The phrase I had growing up that I heard my mum say was Hati Nangiya Pushi Rendiya, right? Which is mean.
What? Your Hati Nangi, what?
Hati Nangiya.
Huh? So your elephant's naked.
Oh, you use nangi. Okay, no, nang.
He went to wash.
What did you say?
Would you say again slowly?
Say again.
Hati nangigya bas pushirendi.
Oh, okay.
What do you think it means?
So only the tail is left.
Yes, the elephant's passed. That meaning you've broken the back of it.
Yeah.
You've done most of it.
Right. I heard the elephant was nungi dana poo.
Well, you should hope so. It is nungi when it does.
Which is a great phrase in life. You know, if you are stripped naked, you will end up doing a poo.
Son, this reminds me of India, where the naked elephant always poos. Like what?
Yeah. What a phrase! I mean, that's so true.
Yeah,
it's so, always that is a fact of life.
Yeah, and actually, the fact of my life is probably bush nangigya hati renda. So meaning like your tail has just passed and you still got the whole bloody elephant to get through. So that's more like life. But
it's funny how there's Sach, a lot of hati references.
No, that was the same because one. I just tried to reverse it around like
No, but like Gujarati. No, because I'm saying Gujarati. As soon as you said hati, I thought of a hati kind of phrase as well.
Go on, then.
And like they would say, hati
chal 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 mera hati o mera sati.
The phrase is hati ne tawa bhi jaye na evi wat kiri. Like as
whoa,
like,
whoa! I need to hear that slowly. Give me.
Debunk it. It's because the hat is naked. It needed a towel.
Yeah. Hat in a towel.
It's going for a shower. Just wrap it round with a towel.
Yeah. Hati poor hati. Hat in a towel. We say every what, Gary? Right. So basically, it's it translates.
The hat is in the town hall. Who's it that?
I had it in a towel. It's like a bull in a china shop.
Hati's in the town hall, mate.
Hati in the town hall, mate. Yeah. That could actually basically be a phrase in India. Oh, like bull in a china shop could be Hati in a town hall. Town hall. But go on. So please say it slowly because I want to hear the bit after the tawa.
Okay. So Hati in a tau avi jaine evi wat keiri. Right?
Now that I heard means... Hati's a towel vagina.
I think all the phrases of hati, but we don't have the one about the hati in the room. But this one, what this means is that it's like he has spoken so much nonsense that even the elephant would get a temperature. Like, when have you ever gone to measure the temperature of an elephant? Also, where would you measure? Yeah. Where would you put the thermometer in an elephant? Right,
no. not up his trunk.
You would, the rear one.
And but there's that. But then there's another hati phrase as well, which is which is hati ne ochi pare, right? Which is slightly shortened because I don't want to say the rude word, but it's basically saying that it's so much rubbish and nonsense.
Say it. Say it's in Gujarati anyway. No one understands it.
Well, so it's hati ne gan ne ochi pare. So
what? What does that mean?
He actually said it. I didn't think he was going to say it.
You know that phrase, Zach?
No.
Oh.
New to me, mate.
But it makes sense to say. That's why he's laughing. But basically...
No. Like, it's because I knew the swear word.
What does it mean? What does it mean?
It means that you have basically spoken so much rubbish that it's even, like, it's even too... Like... You have spoken so much rubbish that even the size of an elephant's backside is small and too small for it. Because it wouldn't be able to excrete that much.
Don't make sense, but okay.
No, it does.
But it's funny that why is the poor elephant always get done in all the Asian languages?
No, you got to think.
Poor elephant.
That's an everyday reference point when you're in India, you know. It's like the elephant is around. It's there. It's a, you know,
the elephant? I mean, I feel sorry for the elephant.
Yeah.
Over here, we have like, it's a piece of cake. Oh, it's a cake of peace, if it was going to turn. Right? Yeah. But like you would have those kind of references.
I've never heard any of these.
I had tu virani ma virani kon banega gardapani, right?
Oh,
which is you're a queen and I'm a queen, so who's going to get the water? Like, meaning, if there's like, too many chiefs, not enough Indians.
Yeah, you know, ironic
as that is on this podcast. Satchin, you never had any of these phrases growing up?
No, never heard them.
Nothing. Your mum and dad never said nothing, nothing.
Never heard him.
Right.
Never heard him. Wow. I don't know what you're on about, honestly.
Oh, Satchin's mum and dad probably didn't bother because he doesn't understand it. What's the point? Can't cuss it.
Do you know the kutenu gi hajamni onda?
A dog doesn't like to eat ghee.
Can't digest it. Meaning, like, someone who can't appreciate good things. Like, he's too dumb to appreciate a good thing. There's that.
Or maybe a bit sour and bitter. That they don't like the good things. I think that might
they
be
don't like, yeah, they can't, or either way, they can't appreciate like, this. What does this guy know? What do they know? Yeah. What are they about?
I tell you who could translate a few of these phrases, who might be all up in there with these phrases and knowledge of it, is our mate Gordon Ramsay. Do you know why?
Ooh, why?
Because I think
Gordon
I do. Ramsay,
Gordon, because he's Gordon. Isn't Gordon a good
Gordon by Ramsay has decided to open up the first India burger joint in Delhi Airport. What?
Brilliant.
That ain't going to go now. Well, what? Beef? He can't do beef burgers in
Delhi. No, it's no beef. No beef at all.
It's no beef. So what burgers?
It's like no beef.
Chicken burgers?
No, it's just veggie. It's all veggie, paneer burgers, all of that kind of stuff. But it's not
all veggie. I think it's everything but beef. There might be meat. From what I read.
But the fact is that it's how is it Delhi's first Indian burger joint? I can't believe that.
It is in the airport. Yeah, maybe.
But also, Gordon Ramsay, bruv. Like, you know, this is where I feel like, you know, the Punjabi side of me comes out and goes, Turendev, like, what are you doing, bruv? Why are you going to Delhi and opening up?
No, hang on a minute.
No. What do you mean?
No. I think, look, if you want to eat a burger, look, Gordon Ramsay's known all over the world, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, Indians know who he is. I think he's quite smart on his part.
Yep.
Oh, and he's good. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
But open up an English burger.
No, but I'm sure there's going to be like your chicken burgers and stuff like that. We're not going to have a flipping Indian person make that, are you?
Yeah, there is. I just googled.
Yeah, exactly. Look, that looks like a proper burger. I would want to eat a burger made by Gordon Ramsay, not by flipping some guy called Ramesh.
Indian burger made by Gordon Ramsay.
I ain't going to lie. I am absolutely flipping salivating looks like a chicken burger with that's going to be a banging chutney, a sauce kind of thing that's in there.
Why is it a chutney? It's a flipping just this normal burger
in there as well.
But this is what I'm trying to tell you, because he's made an Indian burger joint, so that's why he has to use chutney. He's not going to put like mustard in it, English mustard, is he? This is what I mean. So why is Gordon Bhai getting involved? We can get. We could probably get Atul Kocher to get involved in that. Why is Gordon Bhai getting involved in it?
So hold on. Are you saying people should only be allowed to?
Their
race and nation and background.
This guy, man. Put your flag down.
This guy's going around painting the orange, white, and green stripes everywhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, but funny enough, this week I did a food event for like this new, it's actually called Chef Online. I'm going to give them a mention. It's a new food delivery app, but it's been set up effectively by a load of Bangladeshi business people, because they got the restaurants, they got the connects with there. And what I realized was, in this room of Bangladeshi people, there were like 600, 300, 400 Bangladeshi guys, mainly guys who work in the restaurant business. Bro, they had noodle joints, pizza joints, sushi and co, the sushi place I go to at the end of my road. It's run by South Indians, owned by South Indians. Right. It's not like they're just running that franchise. They set it up. They set up sushi and co, pizza places, all that. So there's a woman who came up to me. She goes, oh, Tommy, she goes, you got to come to our Turkish restaurant up in the Midlands. But she was Bangladeshi. And she goes, we do our own homemade Turkish bread. It's unbelievable. What I'm saying is, I think everybody is now at the food game. You don't have, you know, but it still it does wind me up a little bit when I see Charlie Bingham's tandoori thing in Tesco.
Bro, you put on that Saturday lunch kitchen or whatever it's called, Saturday kitchen thing, and they're all like, "Oh, you just marinate this in a bit of, you know, like basin and all that." I'm like, "Bro, you don't know what you're doing."
Basin,
isn't it?
The trouble in the basin.
isn't it? But anyway, I just think Gordon Ramsay.
No, look, I think leave him to.
He's capitalised.
Yeah, no, he is capitalised, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think Kedge, what you're trying to say is like you're not that person, so don't cook that. You're brown. Go and cook a curry.
I think. Hold on a minute. I want to make it clear. I think what Kedge is saying is, it's fine if he wants to do like beef burgers, chicken burgers, all that. But he's in India and he's going to be doing paneer burgers.
Yeah, okay, and that's okay because, you know, Mr. Guy with the corner shop making vada pav is only going to make vada pav, and that's all you're going to get. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with the paneer burger. And if Gordon Ramsay's making it, I'd want to try it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think Gordon Ramsay should invite the Brownlow to come and test it. And then, you know, I might be able to change my mind on it.
By the way,
you'd be the first one, Kedge, to be like, oh my God, this paneer banging, this banging.
Yeah, and I bet you it will be because he'll get some good
paneer. It will be.
And it'll be fresh.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I need to try it.
So go to Delhi.
I put it in our little WhatsApp group. If you're not already a member of our Brownload WhatsApp group, you can do that. Find the link on our Instagram page. It's all there. But I put I was walking down Barkingside High Street, which is in East London, Essexy ways, and there was a woman on the street just doing Bombay sandwiches, vada pav, and it was. It, delicious. I was going, what do you make? She got a bit nervous because I started filming her. She goes, why are you filming? I said, no, I think it's amazing. This is great. But it's like, and I just saw sprinkling in the onion.
Scared her.
Smearing in the chutney, putting in the little cheese slices and the little dikki as well. It's just, you can't go wrong with that. And you know the spices and the flavours and the chutneys in Delhi, where Ramsay's doing his thing, is going to be on another level. So good luck to you, Gordon. Don't you worry. Don't listen to Ked.
Agree. Kedge is just putting everyone in the box.
Yeah, exactly. You can't be pigeonholed. Let me share another little story. Huh?
I was just saying, Mera Bharat Mahan.
Oh, okay, wow.
I don't even know what that means. Is that another saying? Was that another saying?
I think Mahan is my house, isn't it? So India is my house.
He said Bharat is his man.
Vince McMahon.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Right. Tell us this little story.
Little side note story. Just obviously we were on holiday last week, and being away for that week, it's nice. You're in the sunshine. You're hanging out with the kids. It was just actually because the last few holidays we've done with like en masse with either my wife's family or my family, and there's been a few of us here. So this was kind of nice just to hang with Milo and Logan and my wife. Right. So we're chilling, we're chatting, and then Logan. It's funny, the second kid, right? He asks sort of questions that Milo never asked. You know, he's just a bit more, a bit more forward, and he's a bit ruder in his humour. Like, if we're going to take a picture, he'll quickly stick a finger up, and I'll be like, Logs, like, you know, you can't. he's just that guy. So he went, so Dad, have you ever had girlfriends before Mum?
Ooh.
Now, bear in mind, I'm a modern dad, obviously.
Bear girl.
No, yeah, see, which way do I go with this? Because he's an 8-year-old boy. Does he want to
either
hear?
You're Gandhi, or you're Salman Khan, bro.
Or you're Gandhi.
Gandhi. Where did that come from? that's another one of his sayings. Either you're Gandhi or you're Salman Khan.
That's a great saying.
As we say in India, you are either Mahatma Gandhi or you are Salman. No, but okay. In that scenario, real talk. I'm a dad. What do I say? What does he want to hear? He doesn't want
to
hear.
He wants to hear.
Yes.
Oh, does he not?
I don't know. Well, go on, and I'll tell you what I said.
Well, no, I think you've got to keep it real.
It's a hard one, isn't it?
I think you've got to keep it real and got to go. You know, like. You've got to kiss a lot of frogs, and then you know the right one turns into the princess that you end up marrying. But sometimes you know the frog is the wrong type of reptile, or you know it's an iguana, or
it's a hattie.
It's a hattie.
Calm down, son. You like the frog?
Let's not go into detail about Tommy's personal life pre-wedding. But do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but I just, you know, I think it's only right to say that it's not the first frog you kiss that you end up marrying. I think that needs to be conveyed, surely.
Honestly, if you say that to an 8-year-old kid, you're going to confuse him more. He's going to be like,
yeah.
So dad was kissing frogs, and then
dad was just spending a lot of time in zoos.
I said a couple, nothing major, but obviously I met him when I was younger, and I thought they, you know, might go into a relationship, but you know, we were different kinds of people, so I did all that.
Yeah, but I think that's important, that, you know, to show that you know it didn't go, so then you part ways and you know, in a respectable way, and then that's it, you park it.
Then he asked, "And my boyfriend?"
Yeah. Have you ever kissed Kedge or Satch? No. You seem really close. Yeah. You seem happier with them than you are with Mum, Dad. Why do you think that is? Okay, stop talking. Let's go swimming. But then he goes. No. What I meant was, have you married anyone else? I went, No, definitely no. This is who I'm married to. Like, meaning, he's thinking, I don't know who you think I am. So luckily I got out of it. But I know.
But you know what? That's a very good question. Because let's face it, how many even grown-up Asian adults have even asked their dad or mum, have you been married before?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you asked your dad, Kedge, Tommy?
No.
I did say to my... No, because, my dad came over to this country when he was like... very young, 4 or 5 years old, right? So I know he was up to what he was up to in his teenage years and all that.
Right.
I can tell that about him. He was down the
reptile park a lot.
Bro, he was lizards, iguanas. He was doing them all.
He was on safari. He was on safari every weekend.
call him Terry Nutkins.
Yeah. Now, who's that guy who got stung by the stingray? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin,
that's what he was. He was Punjabi Irwin, right? And so he was out there. You get that vibe about him. Obviously, my mum came over when she was like 17, just got married, did that. So, there's no like...
She'd never been to the zoo.
I think I've said this before on a podcast. If I haven't, this is a brilliant time to drop it in. But I think my mother-in-law had a thing with Malkeet Singh.
What? What? Whoa. What on earth are you on about?
No, bro, this is what happened, right? So we were doing I was hosting some concert.
Is her name Jamalo?
No, but I think she likes Amita Ganda, right? So she goes, this is what happened, right? So she goes, the true story, I'm telling you, this is not made up, right? She goes, you know, may I have your concert, John? I want to go to that concert, right? All right. Hmm. And she goes, you know what? I knew Malkeet Singh, he went to the same college as me. I went, all right.
Oi, okay, oi.
Right. So then, obviously, they come to the concert.
Right.
They come to the concert, they do all that. And then afterwards, there's a meet and greet. And obviously, I'm Tommy Sandu. Mum, do you want to meet Malkeet Singh? Yeah, cool. Mm. They come backstage. And she, obviously, he's not really looking at all the people lined up for the meet and greet. He's just meeting them, taking a picture of me. And then she comes and she goes, Malkeet, mate. You know, however she ever chats.
Hello, Fruity.
You know, it's me, Jussie, from whatever bend they were from, right? You know, and then I saw the moment. He looked at her, and I saw him. I'll be honest, I saw him shit himself.
Jussie, koi nahi.
Ah, but Jussie, koi nahi. No. And then she looked at him like, all right.
All right.
Oh. Yeah.
All remember right. Me?
Oh. I'm the one who had you, baby.
Right.
Wow.
So,
wow.
And he looked at her and he looked at, like he crapped her. And then I sent him, I was like, oh, yeah, cool. Let's do the picture. And we moved it on. But I'm telling you, there was something.
Did he start singing, Teri Madi, all of a sudden?
Tune. I don't know. So I thought it was a funny little awkward conversation.
Brilliant. That happened. So what you're saying is she's familiar with his Dumbi.
Yes, definitely. He is. Yeah. No, bro, it's my mother-in-law. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to get in trouble. You know why? Because I know that, like, her brothers, my mum may listen to this podcast. They follow me on social.
What? Right.
Her mum.
Okay,
her mum
I mean, we could leave it there for things we have all bloody learned this week. But
we've learned a lot. We have learned a lot this week, mate, honestly.
Generally, I've broken a sweat just talking about that. I'm like, I'm a bit nervous. Screw it,
Right. Okay, well, with things we've learned, I'm going to start with my one. Because my one, I was blown away by this bit of factage. And that is, right, twice a year in Hawaii, they experience something, I can't even speak. They experience something called Lahaina Noon. Lahaina Noon. Right?
Okay.
I didn't know what that was. So Lahaina Noon is a rare tropical solar phenomenon which occurs twice a year in May and in July in only Hawaii. And it's the only US state within the tropics. Now what happens is at noon on these 2 days, the sun passes directly overhead at 90 degree angle to the ground, causing upright objects to have no observable shadows.
Yeah.
How mental is that? No shadows.
That doesn't occur anywhere else.
No, and I've seen photos of this, and it looks so weird.
Is it weird?
Like, people take photos of objects. Well, you just expect it, but when you're not, because the photos are taken from angles and there's no shadow, and you think it looks like an AI image, and that is weird.
What, well, particularly if it's that sunny with no shadow?
That's what I mean. It's sunny and there's no shadow, so they've got certain posts and stuff like that that are coming from the ground, no shadow, and they're all taken at an angle. How weird!
Sorry, this might be a stupid question. I need to just say it out loud. If you hold something at an angle, though, would it not create a shadow? Or if you lifted it up off the floor...
If it's 90 degrees, if it's perpendicular and it's not, and the sun's above it, do you see what I mean?
I'll be honest, bruv, you're going to have to explain what those words mean. So is it from straight above?
Straight above, so the sun
is,
yes.
So this is... So, like, say this is, like, a pole. Imagine my pole.
A pole going upright.
Sun, yeah. And then there's a sun, which is coming exactly 90 degrees from up top. Then there'll be no shadow around it.
Yeah,
around that pole.
That makes sense.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where I take the photo from. There's no shadow.
But if you lifted the pole up off the floor, there'd be a shadow underneath it. Shade.
Yes.
Shade.
Yes. Yeah. Underneath it. Yeah.
You'd get the shadow underneath.
Directly underneath. Directly.
Yeah. Underneath.
Sorry. Yeah. I just being like really, really okay. And what's that called?
That is called, it's called...
Henna Noon.
It's called Henna Noon.
Yeah, I thought of like henna-like tattoos. Yeah, or henna makeup.
There we go.
Sick. Brilliant.
See, those. I'll be honest, that's now going to go into my head as something I need to see in my life.
I know. Henna
Noon. Right?
I don't know what. I need to go.
I've been to Hawaii, but I don't think I was there during these months. So I've wasted that trip, but anyway.
You want to go and see Henna's Moon?
Yeah. Henna. So actually, you want to go next?
Yep, so the thing I learned is it's about ketchup, actually. And, you know, we all like a bit of ketchup, but we know Tommy, you know, sweats when he has it. Sweaty Betty. But the thing I learned was in the 19th century, it was a miracle drug. So ketchup used to cure diarrhea, indigestion and jaundice. Ooh. And it used to come in a pill before they put it in a bottle to put over your chips.
Yeah, hold a minute. That actually don't make sense, right, because then it's not ketchup, is it? They turn tomato sauce. They turn tomatoes into a pill.
A pill, yeah.
And then So when it was made into a sauce, would that have been for health benefit? Like, oh yeah, put a bit of sauce on the side.
Well, I'm sure I've read something about where it was like, you know, if you're eating dry stuff, you just you dip it in there. So it's kind of linked, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, to help digestion or whatever else. And
that's
like that.
Weird. It makes you question what they've actually got in ketchup, though, doesn't it?
I mean, everyone always says you shouldn't be eating ketchup because it's really bad for you.
All PTs, whenever you get into a diet plan, they go try and avoid those sugary sauces. Because even someone said, like, you know, when you go, because I was going Subway, I thought, oh, Subway salads, that's great. But I would put on all that chipotle, garlic aioli, which I love so much, Southwest. Those sauces, my mouth filled with water again. Those sauces are so good. And they're like, well, that's all calories, mate. That is all calories. So it's a sugar.
Realistically, look, mayo is, what is it? It's eggs and oil. It's what mayo is, isn't it? So it's bare, like, calories. Yeah, basically. Yeah, bare calories.
But that's like a creamy fat rather than a sugary fat. So
probably a sugary fat. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. But my thing I learned, sorry, and I feel like, again, it's the algorithm on my phone that keeps kind of bringing these up. It's another, and I think I've done one of these before at least, and maybe one of you have done one. It's another Nintendo-related Mario Brothers
This guy loves a Nintendo fact. He loves a Nintendo fact.
Well, I don't know
fact,
what, I think the algorithm knows my age, and therefore it kind of relates to me.
The last one I did was, it was about the princess, you know, being his mate. Yeah. It weren't his girl.
That's right. And then the other ones that we've done in the past is that they're both, it's not Mario and Luigi, because they are, it's Mario's name, as we know Mario, is Issa-me Mario, and it's Luigi Mario, because they are the Mario brothers.
Their surname
is Mario, and that's why at the start of the game, when it goes, Issa-me Mario, we all think that is him saying, it's me, Mario, but it's not. Issa-me is his name. So anyway, that's that thing. But the one I've got is at the end of, this is a silly little one, at the end of the round, you know, when you complete the level and it goes and it does a kind of fanfare music.
Yeah.
That, you know, when you slide down the pole, you know, and you clocked it, that little level. That music, unless let's call it that. That music, and you know the sound when you have a mushroom and you go,
yeah,
you know that one. Yeah. It's the same sound. It's just speeded up for the mushroom. It's exactly the same music, just like super speeded up.
Wow, that's
so the same fanfare music. So now you get, but it's the same notes played, speeded
up.
Wow,
I like that.
There you go. That's for everybody gaming at Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Here we go. Can I also
Can I throw in one more? Only because I think he'll be disappointed if he doesn't. If I don't say it. You know who it's coming from. This extra one is sponsored by Simon Sandu, who, by the way, got a good one. Me and him are going to see Jim Jefferies on Monday. He's a stand-up comedian at the Apollo. Yeah. But so we were making our plans. He goes, by the way, I've got a good one for you for the podcast today. You know those Roman statues? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what, the naked ones? I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. He goes, you know when they got their cock and balls out? Yes, Simon, I do know about it. He goes, well, back in the day, they used to purposely make them with small penises.
Yeah.
Yes.
Said, all right. Do you know this?
Yeah.
We all know this, Simon.
Why? Do you know the reason why?
Because a big one was like, it was meant to be like, ugh, what's that?
Yeah, grotesque.
Yeah.
Oh. Grotesque.
Sorry, Si. I didn't know. How do you all know that?
I think it was history thing.
Oh, wow. Well done, boys. No, that's good. Look,
yeah, we went to school, Simon.
Yeah. Simon, Tommy clearly didn't either.
Yeah, there you go.
Also, can I just a couple of things? 7th of September, I don't know if you guys have got the notification, but it's all going down. You're going to get that sort of, your phone's going to be making a sound. Remember that? It's happening. Have you been notified yet? Do you know about it? 7th of
about
September?
What? No.
Do you know about it? 3 p.m.
It's notifications. It's my birthday.
Oh, apart from Satch's birthday, but everyone's going to, you basically, they're testing.
That's why. That's why we're all doing it.
The government will be testing your phone for an emergency.
Do you know any more information about this? Because I'm not going to be here on that day. I'm in another country, so will it still go off there?
Oh, I don't know. Well, you can report back next week and let us know. I think it's only for residents in the UK.
No, it won't, because it's done on the networks. So you'll be on another network when your phone's abroad.
Okay, fair play.
It's quite scary when that all happens. You know that? Because you imagine all the phones all around you. It's like sort of saying every window is going to open and close, or every door is going to open and close. Mm. They're everywhere.
Every phone's going to make a... Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
It's going to make an alert message. So get ready for that. I don't know what they're getting ready for, but get ready.
They've done it before. Don't stop scaremongering. Bloody hell, it's just normal. It's like a fire alarm.
But I'll quickly say something else, though, because Logan came back from school and he goes, they're making us do a little practice thing about going, let's all play hide and seek under the desk. So everybody get under the desk and we're going to play a game like you have to hide. If your teacher ever says this, then you all have to hide.
I think it's because there's going to be a helicopter flying over with red paint and they're going to paint a big red cross.
Red cross.
Over.
Don't worry.
Over.
Do you know what? Now I feel a bit gutted that I'm missing it out on Sunday. Why am my alarm going off?
What time? Do we know what time it is on Sunday?
3 o'clock, isn't it?
3 p.m.
3 p.m., yeah. I'm going to be in... No.
Is it an international break?
Yes.
Yeah, it is,
it is an international break. That's why. Maybe that's why they've done it.
Second in the league. Yeah, we are second in the league. I'm second out of us three, which is amazing. I'm going to just drop that in because it may not last.
I mean,
so
if we're
talking,
you know, I'm top of the Brownlow League, week three. That never happened. Top of the Brownlow League, bro. Wow. I can't even believe I fluked that.
I'm happy at 35th. I'm 35th in there. I'm like,
it is very good, Toby. It is very good.
Well done. Well done. Week three. Week three.
You're about to say.
Week three. Calm down. Calm down. Honestly.
Yeah. But there's like 6 points between me and Satch. I'm like, this is not going to last. So I am messaging every football fan I know. I go, please, what do I need to do? And that's why they went, relax. It's an international break this week. I went, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Calm your jetty.
Last few tickets for the Brownlow live at London Podcast Festival. Make sure you get your tickets. See you next week.
Yes. We are going to have a good time, people. It's going to be a great Friday night. Please get yourself there. Literally about 30 tickets left. I think it's something like that.
Yeah.
So grab them and we'll see you all there. Right, boys, until next week. Laters.
Laters.